Blog Talk Radio.
For the individual, for the student. Is it done in the classroom?
You know, that's a very minute part of it. When you think about, especially when you start to get up into the higher level of classes where you're not with one particular teacher all day, you might be with that teacher. I think about, you know, school, once you get into college and you have credit hours, you know, that teacher only teaches you, I think, for 3 or so hours out of the week, 45. You do a three-day week class, it's 45 minutes each session. If you do a two-day week class, it's 1 hour and 15 minutes, right, out of a 24-hour day, let alone, you know, what your entire week consists of. So there's really no time to really learn and become proficient in anything. You know, I was listening to, I can't remember what exactly it was, but they said anybody who gets to the master level of anything, and we're talking about whether you're a pipe fitter, whether you're a professional athlete, whether you are a PhD in a particular subject, that person on average puts in 10,000 hours of their life dedicated to that particular subject. Now, that is just to get to a master level. Now, when you talk about now getting to an elite level of something, then you're talking about putting in even more hours beyond that training. I think back to the first time, you know, when Tiger Woods was in his heyday and he was popular, went out golfing with the brother. Bought me some clubs. So I was going to go out to the course out Forest Park and get my Tiger Woods on. I was going to smack that ball 400 yards and watch it sail, you know, onto the fairway, get on the green. I was going to complete all them holes just like Tiger Woods. Went out there, teed up, swung that club, and the ball went backwards. And just so happened to be these three old men out there who said, "Hey, man, ain't enough green on this golf course for you, brother. You got to find you a smaller course." And it taught me a valuable lesson sometimes about the arrogance that we have as individuals when it comes to learning a particular thing. You know, you look at somebody who is proficient or seems to be proficient in something and think like, you know, I could do that. You know, I could think. As a matter of fact, they just had the voice auditions down here in Baltimore. I heard that on the news. And out of the tens of thousands of people that attended that, guess what? It's going to get distilled down to hundreds. It gets distilled down to, as a matter of fact, my stepdaughter went all the way up to New York for one of those things. And I believe she can sing. As a matter of fact, she has an excellent voice, a trained voice. You know, she can really sing. But when she got up there, guess what? There were a whole lot of other singers up there too. And when you get up there amongst singers, you start to realize how big this pool of people who are talented, more talented, less talented, or people who even think themselves as being talented enough to be on a national stage. But it's not an easy thing. It gets distilled down to, like I said, it goes from thousands to hundreds to tens until, you know, when we get to the end game, there's only one person who is going to be good enough at that point, just good enough to be able to get the prize. You know, and then afterwards, that's really when the journey begins. When you think about, I used to watch, I used to be a faithful watcher of, what's that show again with Simon Cowell and all of them? American Idol. Now I remember watching the first episode and, you know, watching Justin and Kelly go at it. And, I mean, they would throw songs at them and give them, you know, a couple of days to really get out there and kill this song. You know, that patience, more so than anything else, to say, you know, I'm going to devote my life to this. Similar thing with learning Hebrew. I won't even say a similar thing. I say exact thing when it comes to learning Hebrew. Me as the designated, quote-unquote, Hebrew teacher of the congregation can only do but so much when it comes to each individual taking their time. Or each individual learning or putting someone on a path, quote-unquote path towards them. But the main source of the learning has to come from the time that's put in after. You know, from my son is in pre-K. He gets homework already. Why? And I mean, he gets a lot of homework for pre-K to the point where I'm like, this is a lot of homework. And it's only just writing his name. It's only just learning words. But at the end of the day, the teacher knows that you need that one-on-one time to, in order to do this. And my son, even in pre-K, is at the point where I can sit down at a certain subject, for certain things he has to do, to go ahead and start your homework. I'll be up and I'll check it after. But when he first started in pre-K, I couldn't do that because he didn't know how to make A's and B's and all this sort of stuff and do them the proper way. And even still now, he gets a little off on it. But the point of the matter is, the majority of the learning of this language, and I won't even say learning of the language, because it's beyond that when it comes to us as believers. It's not just learning a language. It's building a relationship, with Yahweh. And that relationship is very important. And this is a key component of learning and building that relationship with Yahweh. You know, the scriptures say, I think, 1 Timothy 2:15, 2 Timothy 2:15.
Timothy 2:15 states,
that to show thyself approved unto Yahweh. See, the only purpose of studying the word, to be quite frank, is what gave us that big amen.
Hold on.
John, what is the purpose of the study of the word? Be approved of Yahweh. Right? That's the only purpose of it. It's not to be approved of men. It's not to be approved of brothers. It's not to be approved of sisters. But it's so that we as individuals can be approved of Yahweh. And how do you, let's finish that up. Study to show thyself approved unto Yahweh. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing what? The word of truth. He says, in order for you to have this approval, this, you know, when you think about back in the day, we, you know, they used to do this thing called the real McCool. Well, there was a man whose name was McCool, and he created superior products. And you had, to the point where you had people who imitated his product. And, you know, his products were so, he was one of the first people to guarantee that his product, its craftsmanship, its durability, and its ability to do what you purchased it for. And if somebody bought a product that had a similar product and it failed, they would look at it and say, wait a minute, now where did you get that? Did you get that from that man named McCoy? And they said, oh, nope, it's not the real McCoy. Because his name had a renown to it, and for the work and the craftsmanship of his product, that it had to have his boop, what? Stamp of approval. If that boy did not have his signature engraved on the side of it, the real and authentic thing. Same thing with us. In order to have that authentication, you think about some of us, you know, that have gone to school, or you get any type of certificate or merit or whatever. You cannot say, like, I'm a notary. You cannot say that this document has been notarized, has been given a seal of authentication until it has that stamp, and on top of that, that signature, whether you got it embossed, whether you just used the ink stamp, if it does not have my authentic signature on it, it is not accepted. It is not a legal and binding document. Same thing, prove ourselves to him, because that's what it means to be approved. You're proving your worthiness. You're proving your worth, you're proving to him that you want to do this thing, and he will put his stamp of approval on. For instance, you take all the men of renown in the scriptures. You know, one of the ones that was mentioned, I think, either last week or in last night's lesson, was Father Abraham. As a matter of fact, I think it was last night. That, and everybody's tracing their, you know, talking about this whole DNA thing. Everybody, you know, this person's DNA, that person's DNA. We can genetically prove that this person is of Hebrew lineage. We can genetically prove that that person is an actual authentic Jew. How do you prove that? When you don't have anything truly, the only way you can truly authenticate it by is if you have either Abraham Isaac or Jacob's DNA. That's the only way. Or one of the sons of the 12 tribes. The only way you're going to prove true authenticity is if you dig up, find their bones, find somebody to harvest some DNA from whatever you find. That's the only way, because who knows what source they're using it from. But because people want to act in a certain level of authority, and because they want to be the ones who give that stamp of approval to say who is who and who is not who, you see what I'm saying? And going off on a tangent, you know, not to divert, but for me in all of this was when the brother said, in order to be accepted in this country of Israel, you have to do what? You would be asked, what do you have to do? Deny Yahushua. In order to be accepted in the land of Israel as a citizen among them, truly accepted, you have people who live there, yes, but they're not accepted as citizens. They'll allow you to, look, tourism is a big industry over. So if you want to come over, if you want to spend $3,000 on El Al and stay at a resort and hang out here, that's not a problem. That's not a problem. They'll take your money all day long. But now when you start talking about you want to be a citizen and a representative of that country in some shape, manner, or form, you have to say, you know what, this Yahushua guy, this Yeshua guy, I don't accept. That right there, you're right. It's a no-no. But anyway, not to doubt, talking about next steps. What are the next steps that we have to take after this class? Well, the first thing is, study. Bare minimum. 15 minutes. That's the bare minimum to pass into studying. I'm not talking about scripture. Scripture should be something that every hour you at least got something tiptoeing to your mind about God. I mean, that should be given. I'm not talking about studying scripture. Scripture is something like when he said, pray without peace. That's part of what he means. As long as the scripture is known to your mind, guess what? You ain't thinking about no scripture. You see what I'm saying? So we ain't talking about scripture for the listeners. We ain't talking about scripture. Scripture is something that's a continual study. Everything you do should somehow, some way. Let me flash. I don't do that. I'll be honest. It doesn't happen in my life all the time because one, I work. Two, I got a wife. Three, I got children. And those who know my boys, you know. Yeah, well, they will keep me thanking Yahweh. But Yahweh, he won't keep this boy today. Yahweh will keep me killed, not kill this boy this minute. You know what I'm saying? So, yes, children will do that. So, get a book that I recommend. It's a very simple book by Mr. Jeff A. Benner. Learn to read biblical Hebrew. I can honestly say it's the best $10 you will spend in your study. He keeps it simple. He keeps it concise. He keeps it at a level that, as one, I think one line, a teacher to me as though I was a fourth grader. This is the book.
Okay? So study. Invest.
Beyond shoes. Beyond that. The things that you need to sustain yourself every day. Me personally, I like my electronics. I spend money on electronics. But guess what? If I'm not using these electronics in somehow, some way to benefit, edify myself in the Word, then guess what? It's a tool of that. It is. Because there's a lot of fools that do all this for a lot of things. If you find things to invest your time. But invest. You know, think about what you spend your money on. And for every dollar, match it and invest in the hour for it. And like I said, this right here, he has learned to read biblical through one, this one is the first, and has learned to read biblical through two. Invest $20 you will spend. Invest in your learning, invest in yourself.
I'll put it like this, invest in your afterlife. this way and things I can help end up. You so funny as shit. Yeah, boy, let's go. Let's go. Let's do that to you. Stand up in front of the because you got you start speaking from the heart and you think about it. When the scriptures say, seek Yahweh while he may be found, he reinstated on time and time again. What that means is, don't mean Yahweh will hide something, even though there are times he needs to hide so that he knows your desire is to seek him. There are times he has done that. Like he is hidden himself from Israel during the time when he wanted them to come and actively seek him. He wanted them to put away. He wanted them to desire him. Same kind of thing here. Oops, sorry, bro. While you are alive, while you got life, health, and strength, while you got breath in your lungs, take that time, invest that time in God. So invest. Earn some money. And don't mean you got to go out there and spend hundreds of dollars and a couple of dollars for money. There's apps on your phone. You got iPhone. There's an app I just use called Duolingo. Very good app. As a matter of fact, the app that told me the other day, I miss you. You haven't been on in a while. Have you ever been on for a while? Oh, that boy, Kachuchin. Hey, man, where you been? I mean, think about how easy Yahweh even makes it through this technology. To me, that was Yahweh calling, saying, hey, what's up? He said, you know, you're the Hebrew teacher. Don't tell me you got caught up that you can't spend a couple of minutes just going over some simple stuff. You know, that's Yahweh. That's right.
Also, there's a little tiny card.
Tiny card.
Oh,
yes.
Card.
Yes, huh? Okay. Mm-hmm.
Flash cards, and it'll let you go over your possessive verbs or your assumed words and so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
So that's on tiny cards.
Okay. Tiny cards. Now, that's Yahweh.
We got another resource here.
Okay.
Whoa. Wait a minute then. Hold on.
Speak that into my script. I don't pay the most people don't
okay, what my sister Elior is talking about is she has painstaking out of her very busy schedule. She is an educator. If you know anything about an educator, they do not go into class fresh out of bed. They do not leave school, go home, and go straight to bed. The majority of their time is spent helping put knowledge in the minds of people. And on top of that, my sister took the time to make a correspondence course for whosoever will that they can get additional learning. I didn't do it because I didn't have the expertise and I didn't take the time to do it. But my sister, being led by the Spirit of Yahweh, did that out of her love for her Heavenly Father and her dedication to this congregation and whoever's out there who wants to be a part of this correspondence, that you can learn little by little, step by step, and get more proficient at learning this language. So,
I was going to put it as sister, that Lord, but you made it, right? Oh.
That's good enough. That's good enough.
She made it so that materials are accessible.
But she was bringing it every Shabbat for quite some time, and notice going through it, and it's self-paced. It's not graded. All you got to do is pick up the material, go through it at your leisure. That's part of your 15 minutes of study and investment, and go over that. Matter of fact, my brother was sharing with me that his, how old is your daughter? How old is Zoe?
Okay.
So Zoe, his daughter, was using the material to learn. So there is no age limit to it. You know, there's
there's no reason to feel that it's something that is not accessible to you. Okay? Sister Eliora's material, we got Duolingo for apps, we've got Jeff Brennan's book, and again, like I said, Sister Eliora's learning material. Utilize it. It's there for us. And the thing about it is, one of the things that Yahweh has done, and I notice he tends to do, is leave us without excuse. Young children, at the end of the day, we're all Yahweh's children. But he makes it easy enough so that children can do it, because he doesn't want anybody to. But the thing about it is, and why I mentioned little sister Zoe is, this is something my brother shared with me. She has a desire for it. At 9 years old, I had Micronauts, I had Voltron, I had He-Man, I had the Super Friends. I had a whole lot of stuff I was thinking about on a Saturday. All the while dreading going to church on Sunday. Child, at 9 years old, I wasn't thinking about anything like that. So it's a desire that I think everyone has. It's just tapping into that desire and taking hold of it. Okay? And that's really study, invest, and be patient with it, though. Be patient. Which is why, you know, I even mentioned the experience I had with golfing. You know, patient with yourself. Give yourself time. Don't be so hard on yourself. Don't think of this as being so easy that you can just go in and master. Let me tell you something. Another thing that Brother Yaka mentioned was these quote-unquote scholars. These people, you know, I think he mentioned Jack Vanier and the fact that he could quote any scripture. Give him a subject to quote. We've got a brother who could do that. You give him a subject and say, hey, Shabbat El, the human concordance, where is that at? Oh, yeah, that's so and so and so. And I say 9.9 out of 10 times the brother's spot on.
Man.
He's spot on with it. So what Jack Van Impey could do ain't that impressive.
Man.
Especially like what Yaka'el mentioned was, he don't know that you all forever learning, but never coming into the knowledge of the truth. You see what I'm saying? So don't be intimidated by the fact that there are people out there who can roll Hebrew off their tongue like it's nothing, whether they are natural-born Israelis or whether they're somebody who you might come across in a faith. There's no shame in saying I am a student. As a matter of fact, there's much honor and glory in saying I am a student as opposed to saying I am a scholar. One of the things that even Yahushua would say, he didn't call them PhDs and, you know, diggity diggity dot dot at the end of their name. You know, it'd be funny to see some of the in my job, you know, everybody puts their credentials on their name tag. And you see FASD, CRNP, MD, diggity, you know, you've seen it, right? Got more initials than their old name. Name might be Al Johnson. But the rest of their body badge is taking up with all these credentials, which is all fine and good. If you earned it, you earned it. But see, when it comes to the word of Yahweh, see, we are so arrogant as to think that we can compromise. In the Proverbs, I believe, it said, Solomon said, you know, the heavens, this cripple can't contain you. This building of brick and mortar can't, the heavens of heavens can't contain you. So how do you think you could go to Notre Dame, or you think you could go to the something school of divinity and think that you are honestly going to confine our Heavenly Father, our Creator, to a document? But you have people who are that arrogant to believe that they can do that. That because they have learned so much that they can define who Yahweh is. They can define who God is. Because every one of these people who puts out a doctrine, that's what they're telling you. Martin Luther, the Catholic Church, the Anglican Church, the Wesleyan teachings, the whatever teaching, these are all people who say we
Judaism.
Word or what the word of God says,
they say this is what we teach.
When you think about it, the ism, the biggest is the Judaism.
They say it is not our teaching.
We don't teach that. I remember when that big rabbi died, and everybody sitting by the grave shop waiting for him to resurrect.
Oh, he's about to pop up off the ground. Oh, yeah. He's the Messiah. He's the Mashiach. He's the anointed. We know in a couple of days that everybody in the world was sitting back like, hold up.
Remember? Everybody sitting back like, wait a minute. Y'all believe in the resurrection? Y'all believe people going to come up out the ground? And they said it is not a common teaching among us.
I remember the article. It is not a common, but yes, it is. It's one of them secret teachings they have. But it's not one that's necessarily talked about except in extreme circumstances now when the covers have been pulled off after someone expired. But they have confined him, the ones that are supposed to know him, the ones who the world sees as his representative, have confined him to a box. They've confined him to not turning the light switch on and off on Shabbat. They've confined him for not tearing off toilet paper on Shabbat. They've confined him to a certain amount of steps that you take on Shabbat. You see what I'm saying? We definitely don't want to be one of those types. Because we understand our God to be infinite. We understand him to be massive. We understand him to be, you know, the other day and it almost drove me crazy. And I thought about eternity. And I thought about what it's going to be like to be in his presence forever and ever and ever and ever. And as I thought about it, creation, where is it? And it started leading me up in all kinds of thoughts to the point where I was like, ho. Now you're starting to overthink some stuff. One of the things that Yahweh said, that what I reveal belongs to you doing your son. That which I don't reveal, which is way out there, all the stuff that they speculating about, they got this movie now out called Life. What led to the destruction of life on planet Mars?
Guess what?
As far as we know, there never was life on planet Mars.
But there is life that exists on Earth. Why? Why are you investing billions of dollars, plainly see, from here, on the ground, on Earth, that it's a desert up there? Why are you spending all this money to go up there to a desert?
They know it's a desert. They know on this planet nothing exists in a desert for too long. But these scholars want to cheat billions of dollars from investors to travel to an intergalactic desert.
Think about it. They're spending billions of dollars. As a matter of fact, aren't they taking seats now for the first shuttle to Mars?
One way ticket.
To go to something. We got the Mojave. We got the Sahara. Right? We got a desert right here in our own country, in the United States. We got a desert. That if you want to see what life is like on a desert, you can come right. You could catch a plane. Then got to go into outer space to do that. If you live over in that side of the country, go right to Sahara Desert. As a matter of fact, I think we have a family member amongst us whose family's from that region, right? Close to the desert. So if you want a firsthand account, talk to the brother. Call his wife up and say, hey, can I speak to your husband? I want to find out what life is like on the outskirts of that desert. And he'll tell you the place you really want to go. But, hey, if I can't stop you, go figure it out for yourself. Walk a mile. And that he right along. But anyway, so, you know, the point of this is not to put Yahweh line and reward. I mean, you know, treat yourself every day. I like sweets. I mean, it's no secret. I like food in general.
and I like sweet. Every once in a while, I like to treat myself to a sweet. Treat yourself sometimes to the word of Yahweh.
Right.
It's rewarding. It's delicious. He even said in his word, it's sweet to the taste. It is. It's tasty.
Right.
When you get a taste of the honey, the first all-natural sweetness that he introduced to mankind. As a matter of fact, his word is also synonymous with what? Deborah, right? Debar.
Right.
That's the word for bee, right? Which produces the honey. So he's letting you know there's sweetness in this thing. But it also got a stinger to it. The stinger comes in it when you're disobedient to it. But he also said to the prophet, you know, hey, take up my scroll, eat it. It's sweet to the taste, but it's gonna hurt your stomach a little bit sometimes. Why? Another thing that was brought out in the teaching last week, which I thought was very good, is prepare to be an outcast. Prepare to go for a time without the people who you may have found comforting in your life. Because that's what the word will do. It says it's a double-edged sword, drawing asunder. That means it's going to cut. As you learn the word, it's going to little by little cut you away from some of your familiar, cut you away from this life. It's going to separate you. It's going to remove you. It's going to put you in a place where, as Yahushua said, don't think I came to bring peace. I am not this little fuzzy cherub that goes around shooting love arrows at people. He said, no, on the opposite, think of me as a warrior-type individual. Think of me as such. He said, I ain't come to bring peace to y'all. He's talking to Israel. He's talking to the people, the inhabitants of the world. I ain't come to bring peace. I came to bring a sword, y'all. The word is take the sword of the Spirit, which is what? The word of Yahweh. Nobody walks around with a sword to cut up fruit with. Nobody walks around with a sword to cut up vegetables with. You walk around with a sword because you will cut raw flesh and draw blood. That's the whole purpose of carrying it. So when sword was the primary weapon of use at that time, you carried it for that reason. Because if at some point you had to draw it, either my blood or the enemy's blood was going to be shed. Preferably, it would be the enemy's blood. I know everybody had learned some stuff from last week because Yahweh queried everybody on it. And I have to say I was very happy to know that folks have been taking the time to put in the work to study and have been learning some things. Because in its essence, Hebrew is not difficult to learn. I'm not saying that it's easy to learn, but it's not difficult when you dedicate your time. He's distilled it down into very simple concepts. You know, root, child, adopt. Okay? This is the simplest part of the building block. Think of everything in terms of, you know, the building block, you know? Okay? And everything is built on that parent root. Everything is built for the parent. Okay? Then you get into the next step, which is child root, which you just simply add another letter in some instance. Okay? So without getting too much into, you know, vocabulary, that's another thing you have to take the time to do, is, you know, build your vocabulary. It's just like when those of us who have children, sorry, had to take time to help our children learn, you know, first their little three-letter words, then their little four-letter words, then their little five-letter words, cat, hat, rat, fat, mat, fat, bat. Same thing with the Hebrew. Take a little time to learn, build your vocabulary. Sometimes teachers can make things seem easy. No, this is work. You know, anybody who comes up here and Yahweh has anointed or has chosen to teach, that's because it's work that's been put in. You know, one of the things that Yahweh is, and I like this term that one of the football players uses, a meritocracy. Yahweh judges you based on your actions. on your merit and what you put in. You know, every minute you invest in Yahweh, it's all, it's like a 401k. But every that you put into investing in Him, He's putting the equal amount into investing in you. Right, sir? Hallelujah. You know?
Bless you, sir.
You know, and the same thing with, you know, with your doctor's group. You know, your three letters that Yahweh has used to build His word. You know? The next thing I understand is the concept of His great thinking. Okay? Because when you think about the way we think now, has only been about for maybe about 1,000 years, as far as, the way we think now has only been for a minute part of our history, and it's been the result of invasion and captivity, because when you think about even the people of the quote-unquote East, everything in their life is based on
concrete thinking. And what is concrete thinking?
It has something, imagination, okay? Doesn't need guesswork or imagination. It is something that you need to point to it. It is what it is, and it's irrefutable, okay? And when it comes to dealing with action, it's either done or it is waiting to be. Okay? It's either what's considered perfect versus imperfect. Okay? Perfect means it was done. Imperfect means it is yet to be done. Okay? The next thing. Is also concerned primarily with function. Okay? Concerned with function. It is worried less about the description of something, what it looks like. Like, for instance, Marcus, you know, you ask, well, what is this?
The concern with Yahweh is that we have whiteboard, driveway clock, highway. Is based on
function first, whether or not, even when you look at the word for sin in Hebrew, what is the word for sin in Hebrew? It means to miss the mark, right? What is the word for Hebrew in Hebrew? What does it mean? Not, you know, you don't necessarily have to worry about the concept behind it. What is the concept behind it? You know, evil, really, you know, in our language, evil is, you know, you walk around with horns and a pitchfork and, you know, and you got green vomit coming out your head. That's not evil in the eyes of Yahweh. Evil in the eyes of Yahweh is as simple as this. I said keep evil in the eyes of Yahweh because He gave it for a particular purpose. He gave it to His people. He introduced you for a particular purpose, and you didn't fulfill its purpose when you were called to fulfill its purpose. And Yahweh, that's evil. It ain't going out there robbing and killing. Yes, that is a violation of Yahweh's word, too, and yes, that is evil. But everybody always wants to go way off into the deep end when it comes to evil stuff. Oh, he shot up a movie theater, people. Or, you know, he shot a young lady, or he did this, or he committed this crime, or you have police officers doing this. Yes, that is a form of it, but at the end of the day, it's something as simple as Yahweh saying, not obeying Yahweh's word, because He gave it with intent and with purpose for humanity to dwell with Him in a particular thing. So anytime you are outside the will of Yahweh, you are committing, and that really is it in a nutshell. Okay, that. Anything beyond what has been talked about in this last 5 weeks, we can continue until the next time the Hebrew classes roll around again. Use your resources,
Use your sources. Study your word. Study your word. Study your word. Study your word. Any questions? Any comments? Yes, sir.
Anything that anyone is having difficulty understanding.
Yes, I can. All right. Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, that comes with building vocabulary and having resources. Okay, before I come up and teach, I already have in mind what I'm going to talk about. So if I put this word up, which is one of my favorite words in Hebrew, because I think it's one of the words that is very, very plain to speak. If I put up this symbol, the ayin, and the second symbol, the dalet, right? And if you have to keep each chart, you have to keep chart. This is what he calls Israel. He says, ye are this to me. You have it, Sister Karen? All right. And what does it say? The ayin, what is that? Uh-huh. Watch. No. Shade. Okay. Everybody else have that on their sheet? Yeah? Experience. Right? Now, what's the dollar? Moving. Okay. Entrance. Okay. Okay. All right. You got that on your Tuesday? Door moving entrance. Okay. Now, this word in English is translated as witness. Right? Now, growing up, like I said, in New York, when we had what's called eyewitness news, right? Super heaven involved in there too. Eyewitness news. And they just had a tragedy take place, right? Reporter comes on the scene because the reporter is what? The reporter that comes on the scene is not a witness. He's not the witness. He's the reporter. He's the mouthpiece, right? He goes up to the scene. He says, excuse me, sir. Did you see the event that took place around here at such and such and such time today? And you say,
yes, sir.
You did. Could you give us your synopsis of what actually took place?
One dude shot the other dude.
Baltimore City. Okay. Was there anything else that you saw? Okay, so we have it from a witness on the scene that he said one dude shot another dude.
Sir, did this what took place today?
All right, would you mind giving us your take on what took place?
Yeah, happened real slowly when a guy came up the alley. He had his pretty late.
Goodness. Whoa.
He said the guy came up. The alley. He had a 38. He shot one guy. And then he went.
Ran up the street.
Wow. Let me see if I can get another witness on the scene. Sir, did you witness these events?
Sir.
He did not witness these events. Man, did you witness these events?
Could you give us a synopsis? So there we have it. Three witnesses from the scene that saw the events from three different angles, but all can corroborate that there was a shooting that took place, that there was a 38 involved.
But you get my point? Okay. So, in order for somebody to do that, that means they have to watch, experience what was moving at that time, what was going on. You see? So, when Yahweh calls us to be witnesses, he's saying, y'all watching the movement, y'all are experiencing, experiencing my coming and going. And I love this word because it has the eye, and it has the door, and it really cannot be any plainer than that. Yes, sir.
it really goes to Revelation, because one of you guys take the word in context, and then you sit there, you look at all the words, what they mean, and you think about the context of what you're reading, and then now it reveals how you match it up, like how you know what nuance of that letter goes with the other nuance of the other letter to bring together that thought, you know. And that's why when we study, you know, when we get into Hebrew, it's a Bible study, because we have to go to that realm of Revelation.
Amen. And that was the other thing that I meant to mention is
everybody has a unique way of learning and absorbing information. Me, I know if I sit in the classroom for too long, after a while I'm going to hear wah, 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 wah. If I listen to anybody for too long, that's what starts to happen in my mind. It starts to just, okay, if my mind is like, okay, give me the gist of it. I'm more that type of learner. Give me the gist. Give me the 1 + 1 = and I'm good with that. But everybody's learning style is different. There's different teaching methods, and there's different learning styles. And one of the ways in learning, y'all, is learning how it works. The way I may bring across the information may not necessarily work with a particular learning style. However, saying that is, we can have one-on-one time and the other resource. You know, maybe sometimes how it is it's explained by me, it can be explained by someone else. You understand what I'm saying? Even when you think about what has been translated as teaching in the word, you have a few different words for teaching. One of the words that comes right to mind is the word lama, right? Which that word promotes a particular type of teaching where it is, I believe, the more student to learn, a teacher to learner type of learning. Then you also have, in Hebrew, thinking to learn by observation. That's another way that some, like when he says he chose Abraham because he would teach his children. Okay, so it doesn't mean that Abraham just stood up in front of them and taught them, see. You know, they learned from Abraham by watching how he prayed, how he got up and did this, how he interacted with his wife, how he interacted with his livestock, how he interacted with his children, right? But then you have, and you learn from a moré, or you learn from someone who is a designated or a surrogate for what isn't necessarily, I won't say what's not being taught in the home, but a supplement to what's being taught in the home. So let's say you want to learn a particular subject, you know? Like, for instance, you have in the scriptures what was called the school of the prophets. Now, unless you were necessarily, born as the son, you know, there was a methodology that could be learned on how to get and the thing about it is, in Hebrew thinking, a prophet isn't like what the abstract thing is, always a seer of the future. No, you know, what is the word for prophet? Nabi, right? Nabi. And then, you know, we also have the theos for the word Nabi, which is what? Parent or child. Three letters. Child, right? Yep, child. Okay. So, what is the yod? Work, right? Okay. So we have seed, house, work, right? Prophet is somebody who works. He houses the seed within him, the seed which is what? The word of Yahweh, and that's his work. That's what he does. It's simple. Right? I guess I shouldn't say it like that. For it at least puts you on a certain train of thought. Yes, sir. Sure.
When you begin to learn how to read, you learn pieces, so you learn the alphabet, you learn words, then you learn how words go together, then you comprehend. Then you get bigger understandings of what you read. So maybe you just haven't reached the point where you're developed, where the Most High is revealing it to you that way. So we all, everybody, we start on the milk. We were talking about the sister system, just talking about the different people and ladies in the assembly, and just how if I teach class and not to teach class, it's completely different. But that's how the Most High teaches class. That's how it's like, somebody or whoever it is. So I think like the suggestions that he, because he already does, he reveals to you in dreams. I don't get dreams like that. I barely get good sleep that night. But that's a gift. We talk about gifts. So that might not be your gift, but it don't mean it's not coming. It just means that you have to be built up, because we also talked about purpose. And, you know, when his purpose is revealed, then you will have the tools. That might not be the
Another tool I forgot to mention, I think this, I may have spelled it wrong. I think it's Concordance, not Concordance. I know my spelling, that's why I like Hebrew, it teaches me the three letters. Okay. I think everybody that's here can attest that the Strong's Concordance, regardless of what errors may have been during the time that it was produced, that this tool has started all of us on the steps towards it. And that would be another suggestion I would make, Sister Karen, is do you have a Strong's Concordance? You do.
Hallelujah.
So, that's the thing. That's the thing. Can never stop. Do you, now is it because how the letters look?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I would think, now I'll be honest. Now, if with this chart here and how, because you have some more modern forms of the it's almost like fonts, I should say. That's a because of how that font is, yes, it would cause difficulty for me. Because the font itself, no, not because it's big, but because it doesn't necessarily look like the traditional letters. So, whereas, let's say, let me look at one of the letters that's in this word here. It's not on this page. But, yeah, you know, sometimes fonts can throw you off, especially when they try to make the fonts look more modern than traditional form of the Hebrew alphabet. So, I mean, that could cause some difficulty in itself. Because if I was looking at this particular translation, I would want something that looked a little bit more traditional. Because then that way, for me, it would look more like, I guess, the chart or the chart that I'm actually looking at. So that, you know, that could be part of it too. Now, when you look in the Strong's Concordance itself, the actual book, do you still experience that? Okay. Got you. Do you have a computer at home?
because there are a few Bible programs that you can use on your computer that that you can increase the font on, and maybe that might help a little bit more. You have for computer sources, you have I use the source that many of us use, eSword. Is that what you use, Yaakov?
Oh, yeah.
eSword, which is, I believe it's a free program. It's a free program. And with eSword, you can increase the font. I know as I'm getting older, normal letters start to look a lot tinier to me. You know, I had to get my bifocal prescription filled at my last eye appointment. So try eSword. There's also one called The Word. And these are Bible programs that you can install on your computer. And I believe they're both still free, so it only asks for a donation. But these two programs, you know, you can use and increase the font. And, you know, try to find a font for the Hebrew letters that looks a bit more traditional than maybe the font that's being used on your phone. Okay, because that I can see where that could cause some difficulty. Yes. Okay.
Please.
Yes.
Justin, I think has the or maybe it's another website article. They have the Hebrew flashcards.
Yeah.
It's a card you can get up. They have multiple cards, but first up, they have a home and the biblical card. And then it has the ancient pictographs, and you can get like one other thing, and then it has the menu, and then it has like one. And that might be helpful just as a basic level if you're studying a word to use your cards and put them out. Then I think it's easier to do that kind of interpretation when you're looking at the pictographs, but it sometimes requires some transfer because the processing that your brain has to do to go from the font that they use in the biblical text to think about what it would look like in a pictograph. And then, just for myself, I have to write, take the Hebrew word, and then I write what I know they mean, and then, you know, get some understanding. But if you have cards that you can manipulate, that might help you as well. So, you might I would try to make you a set. I'm not promising I could do that, but if you can but as you said, if you want to make an investment, it's really a worthwhile investment because it's something that you'll have. So then if I purchase this stuff, I can laminate that book.
The website is called moadim.net, moadim.net, and they have the ancient Hebrew flashcards. $15 for the set. Yes. MOADIM.net.
All right, moadim.net is for the Hebrew flashcards, okay?
And, you know, like I tell my team, can you see it? It's
MOADIM.
And
in those flashcards.
And I think that's a very good suggestion as far as getting to learn how to put the letters together and how to recognize the letter and start to, you know, build a vocabulary of Hebrew words. And to be honest, a lot of the words that we use are words that over time, as you know, we've been learning, and you know, different teachers have come up here and taught. These are words that, you know, just kind of repetition. You know, over time, repetition. You know, one of the things that I believe the writer says is line upon line, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, repetition. It takes a continuation. It takes
to keep going over something time and time and time and time again. One of the things that was told was when there was a judgment that had to go out, he said, you know, give him three things that right now for the new believers, come on, you can't worry him with all that stuff. Just keep these three things. You know, tell him to give up the idols. Tell him to stay away from, you know, unclean things, and don't eat food that's been strangled. Start to get them to get away from those three things. And he said, you know, because Moses of old is taught on every Shabbat.
Right.
That means he's saying, now, after you get them to this basic point, now get them on a path of hearing it every week, at least once a week. At least once a week. Shalom aleichem, ma. At least once a week. So it takes repetition. It takes, I think, one of the things that wrote, going over something over and over again. You know, one of the things that one of my stepdaughters is learning is music. You know, and she couldn't read sheet music, but she's a music major. You know, and I watched her go from reading, you know, the one little note to this note and then to that note to the point now where she is able to read sheet music. It's the same, you know, it's a method that is applied where you take one little step at a time, one step at a time. You know, get familiar with this letter. You take your time and get familiar with that one letter. That's all it takes. Learn that one letter. You know, then put a second letter to it. You know, and then after that, learn another letter. Just get to learn the letters first. You know, and then as you learn the letters to the letter, you can recognize that one letter. You know, then after you start to recognize one letter, you start to recognize two letters. Then after that, you learn to recognize groups of letters. Then after you start learning to recognize the groups of letters, then from there, yeah. But that's how it works, you know, for all of us. Nobody in here is immune from that, from learning it that way. You know, I remember when we were first starting to really learn Hebrew, that our teacher at the time sat us down and just said, learn the letters. Once you learn the letters, then we all went the same path. You know, looking at that word, and just it was so, seemed so vast and so infinite and so beyond our reach that it was like, say, you know, if you want to eat the elephant, start one bite at a time. You know, and give yourself that patience. You know, take the time and say, you know, this week I'm going to go through. you know, pick up a source off of the internet and say, I'm just going to go through and see if I can recognize the Aleph out of it. You know, and I'm going to recognize the Bet out of it, and so on and so forth. And then after that, and, you know, I would tell you, because the sources are in what is called the Qumran style, or the style that we are most familiar with of Hebrew, I would start with that first, then go into the ancient pictographical form, because there are more sources to learn from the block or Qumran style of Hebrew than it is for the ancient biblical source. This is the Aleph and the ancient pictographical, and this is the more traditional Aleph block. Okay? And that's what they refer to as Qumran. Qumran. any other questions? That's it. And then we're all here.
Right.
You've got sisters, you've got brothers, you've got resources right here. So anything that you struggle with, anything that gives you a hard time, we are all here to help you in this journey. We are all of them. Okay? You can text me. If you have my phone number, you can text me. Any questions you have, and I'll be sure to get back to you before I go to sleep at night. I'll be honest, because I don't carry my personal phone with me at work. And then sometimes once I leave my building, because I don't always get sitting, everything will pop in, ding, 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 and I don't know what came first. And sometimes the way the phone is set up, one person may start the chain and other people respond, and because I'm on one system and folks may be on another system, I'll see all the iPhone people and what they say. And sometimes the responses to that come up as that person actually says, so whatever. If you send it, I will respond once I actually get it at the end of the day. Okay? Anything else? I'm going to ask all of us to rise. and ask my brother to close us out in prayer, please.
For the Abba Father, Abba Yahweh, we do it. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Abba Yahweh. Good at the top of the job. Give the strength for us. Give the mental health for us. More important for us. Give the strength for us. Okay?
Good.
Yeah.
All the glory belongs to you. All the glory belongs to you, oh God. All the glory belongs to you. All the glory belongs to you, oh God. Yeah. All the glory belongs to you. All the glory belongs to you, oh God. Yeah. All the glory belongs to you. All the glory belongs to you, oh God. Yeah. All the glory belongs. All the glory belongs
to you.
Yeah.
Oh
God. All the glory belongs to you. Oh God.
All the glory belongs to you.
Oh God.
All the glory belongs to you.
Oh God. Yeah. Oh God. No.
All the glory
to give your name the highest praise today. So we say hi, yeah. Hallelujah.
Glory belongs to you, oh God.
Y'all know it by now. Come on, sing.
All the glory belongs.
All the glory belongs to you.
To you.
All the glory belongs to you, oh God.
Yeah.
All the glory belongs to you,
oh God.
All the glory belongs to you.
Oh Lord, we bless your name and we give you glory. We lift your high. All the earth, because you're worthy.